No, I do. I don't like anything other than...
Oh, you don't like anything other than...
And to be honest with you, it's kind of hard to tell whether it's really that much better or not. It's just, it's kind of more of a paranoid, just play it safe thing than...
Yeah.
Can't really say, oh yeah, Pioneer, chances are Pioneer makes it for the other company, so...
Yeah.
There's no... sure thing on that, so... let me check one thing in the next room, and then we'll get started, okay?
Okay.
Thursday evening. And basically, what I told them, they're gonna, like I said, they're gonna do a little presentation, kind of about what their company is. But I said, mostly, you guys are gonna have questions for them. And one of the main things, and he volunteered this, and I echoed it, want to make sure this isn't a sales meeting, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He knows that. He offered that. He said, listen, I've worked with churches. He's actually worked. He's not a Seventh-day Adventist, but he's worked with Seventh-day Adventist churches. And a couple of things that we both agree on, there are certain areas don't skimp on. And I told him I would tell you this because he doesn't want it to come across. He's trying to sell something from him. He really wants to just provide information. Obviously, they'd love to sell you stuff. The reason we're bringing them down, one, is they're a resource, but I have personal experience with this company, and which leads to another thing that's really big to me. I'm very loyal to companies. I don't. I really detest when someone will go get a bid from a company and then they go online and start. It's not really, in my opinion, it's not really right. Because they go through all this work doing the thing, and then you go, they're essentially engineering it for you. And so what I do is I generally check their prices somewhere else. Because at the same time, you kind of got to keep them honest, you know, that over time they kind of, you know, we are a loyal customer, and, you know, I can get that for a little cheap, okay. But I, this company, for example, like these cameras we bought, for another facility I was at, we bought some of them, and I needed a cable, and I could go out and rent one. They just gave it to me, you know, and it was a $300 cable. You know, little things like that. So, really a big fan of loyalty, and this company kind of do it all. And they're kind of a mid-range company. Because you'll find these ones that have these really nice offices, and they've got all these really high-end CAD things, and they can do that for you and stuff. But you're paying a lot for their overhead. These guys don't have a lot of overhead, so they're pretty lean. The one owner, it's a family-owned business, the one owner, he used to work for a company I used to buy all kinds of gear from. I didn't work with him directly, but anyway, bottom line, we're bringing them down because I have a relationship with them, and I trust them. You have no obligation. I just want to emphasize, it's not a sales meeting. Told them that go ahead and make a presentation so you kind of know what you guys can do, but you guys are going to be interested in just asking the questions. And he will probably be asking some questions just to kind of ascertain where you guys are coming from. Told him, small church, don't expect that, you know, we've got a $500,000 budget, and, you know, he understands. So he'll be coming on Thursday. And he lives in the Burleson area, so he's not too far away from us. And because of a couple of things he's going to do for us, I'm going to swap things around a little bit in terms of what he's going to cover. I thought tonight, towards the end, we're going to do some review stuff. I'm going to let us play with the mixing board a little bit. We're going to play with the, let you guys play with the video stuff. But I thought I'd spend some time on the whole recording your service, audio-wise, video, and getting into the podcast and what that process is all about. That good?
Mm-hmm.
And so without any further ado, let's start with a word of prayer and we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for being with us this day, and I just ask for your Holy Spirit's presence and guidance.
Amen.
By the way, we may have a group of Cub Scouts that come through. sure what the deal is. Randy just said there were some Cub Scouts coming, and I saw. They may be just in the radio station. They may be wandering through here. So just FYI on that. Well, let's talk about podcasting. And first, let's start about some terms. The term podcasting has really become like the word Kleenex. And by that, what I mean is they were doing it for a while where you could put audio on the computer and you could download it, of course. But then Apple came out with an iPod, and then they came out with what started just being called podcasting. And then, of course, iTunes kind of made that a label. That's like the word for podcasting. Well, what is podcasting exactly? Well, initially, there's a thing called RSS feed in the internet. And there's a variety of things what that stands for. The bottom line with that is something that you can subscribe to. Like, you'll see more and more websites. In fact, you'll probably start putting it on your own website as you expand. You'll want to have an RSS feed. What that means is someone can subscribe, and that means your computer will automatically go out and get it. And if it's set up as an RSS feed, on the other end, that's what makes that work. And it's just really some simple coding and a way of structure that automatically makes that work. So if you subscribe, it will automatically download text. And then with audio, with podcasting, that's what podcasting technically is. Now, where it's got confusing is the fact that people use podcasting to kind of refer to everything. But in the most literal sense, podcasting is where you set up this RSS feed and someone can subscribe to it. That's the technical term. Now, more and more, most of us, what we mean is that we want to have video or audio and someone can download it. Oh, if they can subscribe to it, sure, that's great. But all we're talking about is just putting video on a website that we can watch on the website, or we can download it and listen to it in a variety of different forms, whether it's video or audio. So that podcasting, that's kind of the official definition. But where it's got confusing is we're kind of using it to cover everything. Another term that you'll hear some, and I don't know if it's going to take off or not, and that's vodcasting. And the reason vodcasting is, podcasting originally was audio only, because the bandwidth wasn't there for video and all that kind of thing, and quite frankly, the iPods couldn't do video yet. As soon as they did video, that changed. And so, some have tried to use the term vodcasting, and it's used pretty common, to differentiate that you know it's a video podcast. But it kind of feels like, because the video is becoming so prevalent, they're just using the term podcasting, and then you figure out whether it's audio only or video only. So I don't know where that's going to settle down, but I'm going to use the term video on demand, okay? That's the term I'm going to use. I would use podcasting, but I want to kind of intentionally differentiate. Not that it really matters, except when you're conceptualizing what you're trying to do, you at least are conscious that it's a little different than what, like if you were talking to a webmaster, someone that's going to do your web and they knew what they're doing, if you said podcasting, they might think you mean the literal sense. And so I'm deliberately making a distinction. And video on demand is just what it sounds like. You can access your video whenever you want. So that's kind of the basic clarification of podcasting and vodcasting and all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to focus mostly on the video on demand, okay? And live streaming. Let's talk about live streaming for a moment.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm a little behind on, I've never actually seen a podcast, but what are the examples?
show you that right now, okay? Give me a second to call it up.
Come up there.
It's going to take a little while to download, but I'll describe it, and then we'll look at a couple of, because I've got to show some examples, then we do it. A podcast, you know, basically it's watching video off the web.
Oh.
Only it's a specific way that it's done that's technically podcasting, where you could literally download it to your iPod, like you can download TV shows and movies and stuff like that, and that's a podcast. CNN and some of these, they'll have things where you can download shows. It's actually a good business. If someone were starting their own business, it's kind of a, and I'll talk some about that, because I think there's some ministry sides to that that would be good too, relating to funding. Live streaming. Live streaming is one of those things that a lot of people, even in Arlington, we're going to do live streaming, and it's kind of like this big deal, sort of. But you need to ask yourself the question, who's going to watch your live stream? Who's it for? And you say, well, you know, maybe there's members that are sick that day,
and they
can't come. So you say, okay, I'm going to do live streaming for them. Someone might say, well, you know, some friends, they're out of town, and so then they can watch the church service. You say, okay, well, live streaming. But now ask yourself the question, if they're in New York, or if they're, let's say, California, the other direction, so they're going to get up 2 hours early so they can see it live? Then you get into video on demand is really what you want. What you would like is that the church service is done, and it's on your web right now. So when it's church time for them in California, or it's in the afternoon after the church they've gone to in California, they can watch the home church. See the distinction there? Live streaming, I think there is some value, but there's some technical issues with it, that if you don't make live streaming, the video on demand, it tends to be better anyway. Because some people say, yeah, I would like my family, like we had some, I like my family in Brazil to see the church service. Well, you know, it's the hours and the thing and all that kind of stuff, or, you know, you get around the world and it's the next day, you know. So live streaming isn't that crucial, really. However, I think where it becomes crucial is when you have special events. It can really add to the event. It's kind of like a satellite event, kind of thing. So, we'll see what happens there. But, so that's the distinction. That's my personal opinion. If there's a special event, then I think it adds some energy, and you need everyone, whatever part of the world they're in, to, you know,
like graduation that happened 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
They put it on.
Yes, exactly. Like. And that event happens at that moment, and so
family in Brazil, they get up earlier.
Yeah, it's like, you know, football, you know, not American football, but, you know, they don't care what time it is, you know. Okay. I remember being in London, you know, and they were watching football, or, I mean, it was like 4 a.m. or something, watching one of the World Cup things. And I think it was one from the States. I don't remember what it was. But anyway, you know, pretty devoted fans. So that's kind of the thing on live streaming. I'm going to talk about live streaming, and I think it's a good idea to plan on live streaming for a variety of reasons. One, if you are trying to make whatever you're doing to go on live streaming, it kind of creates an automatic sense of urgency. And what I mean by that is if you're thinking in your head, okay, this, I'm recording this, or I'm videotaping this, and someone's watching this right now, it's going to raise the quality just because you're doing it. You understand what I'm saying? Whereas, oh, you know, you'll see it later, we'll fix it later. You know, it's just that, you know, we're humans and that kind of psychological thing. So even if it's not that important, or you have 2 people watching or something, I think there's value in thinking of that live streaming and letting your team kind of be aware of that, so everyone's kind of And the fact that it's live, it just adds some energy. I happen to love live television. I, of course, first job was news in the studio. And you know, I love that. We've done some live satellite feeds, and, you know, at the last minute, something's not working right. I like that energy, and then it's done, you know. It worked or it didn't, and stuff like that. But it kind of raises the energy level, and I think there's a lot of value to that. The second thing, like I mentioned, if there's a special event, it can really expand what you're doing. You know, if there's a once-in-a-lifetime, you know, speaker or something like that, then I think it helps in the promotion of it. It's much like when the church has gone around and done satellite events or something like that, it just adds a bigness to it that really helps draw, I think, locally. You know, and as you know, the world is so interconnected. You know, I don't know how many times I've heard someone that heard about something in Europe to go to something in a small town over here, you know, because they heard, saw it on the web, you know. So I think there's a lot of value in the special event thing. But those are the kind of the two things with the live streaming. Now let me talk about some of the complications. The complications with live streaming is if you do this big event, or you have all these people and they come to that spot and then it's not there, or they can't log on, that's obviously bad. And it can really undermine the whole thing you're trying to do. And some of the things to prevent that is, like one of the things at Arlington, we're going to make sure that we have a separate internet connection just for the live streaming. Nothing else is on. And we're going to try and do it with DSL, but that's a little risky, admittedly. The reason it's risky, I don't know how much you know about DSL, but the basic reason DSL was created, it was a method of providing internet access over existing phone lines.
Okay.
That's its main value. So imagine if you had a big high-rise building and you're an internet provider, you know, AT&T or something like that, and you want them to buy internet access from you, if they had to spend $1 million just rewiring their whole building to accommodate that, think how much that would have slowed internet, because that's what happened in the beginning. That's what it was going to require. They'd have to bring in ISDN lines, and those were really expensive, and all this kind of stuff. Well, it was a technology developed that you could use existing phone lines. Well, part of the downside of that technology is it is shared in bandwidth. Another aspect of it is that the way it goes through the phone system, the farther you are from like a trunk, the slower your speed. And then obviously the more, the more people that are on, and I'm not talking about just in, say in your home, the people in your home, it's going to slow it down. But your neighbor's going to slow it down, neighbor down the street, and so on and so forth. And as you probably realize, it's like, man, sometimes, if you have DSL, you know, sometimes it's working really great, and other times it's like, there's a lot of factors to that, but that's one of the factors. That's kind of the whole simple DSL thing. Now, fortunately, like you've got Verizon, and now AT&T is doing as well. In some areas, like you might have it in your area. Do you know who provides your phone in your area?
Well, mine's AT&T.
If Verizon actually did some of its initial tests in it's a city starts with K up here.
Keller.
I don't know why they chose Keller, but Keller has was their first kind of test site for their fiber optic. They call it FiOS. Mm-hmm. My brother has it in San Diego. That's a fiber optic thing, and it's like stellar, and you get this great speed, and so on and so forth. AT&T has come out with, I think they're calling it Universe, or something, and it's kind of their whole complete package, mm-hmm. but kind of bundled in it is this feature that you start accessing your fiber optic stuff. So hopefully that's coming, and some of those things are kind of opening up some new doors that the DSL or the affordable is fine. Otherwise, you're talking about having to do like a what's called a T1 line. But even those, if you have to do that, those used to be like $600 a month or something. Those are coming down in our special effects department.
Yeah.
We're going to blow something up. We're basically, some of that technology is making it more reliable, but the T1s are coming down in price, and I'm going to be actually pricing it tomorrow for our area to see what it's come down to. If you can afford that, that's going to be the most reliable because that's kind of a dedicated line to you, and it doesn't have some of those other applications. So with live streaming, the process goes like this. Let's just start with audio. Randy, I think, showed you how they're live streaming with the radio station the other night. You know, basically what your audio signal, you've got to obviously create the signal. Then you basically need to convert it to go over the internet. And then you need something to access the internet. And then you essentially need some place where someone else can access it. So let's say, for example, you have your website, Fort Worth website. When someone logs on that and they see on the website it says watch or listen live, what they're linking to is either one of two things, and we'll talk about this in a second. They may be coming to your website and listening. You ready to come through?
Yes.
Not at all.
Excuse us.
Run in, guys.
Who's the Cub Scouts?
How are you doing, gentlemen?
Good.
Go on in. We're good. All under control. Go ahead.
What would you like them to do? I'll set it up.
What would they like to do? Would they like to maybe try and move the camera? There we go. And why don't you sit right over there? It's one thing that's kind of fun by bringing media to your church. It really is an opportunity where kids kind of get excited. You can really engage them. I've seen a lot of them. With Aaron, one of the students here that's kind of been helping, he came to our church specifically because that was what he wanted to do. He was here. He was actually homeschooled. He came to church and then came here to teach the mission program. But, it's really, because you know how it is, kids, it's like, they got so many things competing for their interests, you know. And, I mean, you think of the toys we had when we were kids, you know, and the toys they have now.
Yeah, you're right. At the Hispanic church, they are involving those kids, 13, 14 years old. They are very enticed.
Yes, it's stormy with bales.
Sorry to interrupt, Shabbat.
because the color.
How much of your wardrobe has that color? Now, it happens to be kind of a trendy color right now. But that's one. The blue screen seems to be particularly, they use that usually for like sci-fi and stuff. They're able to get a little more realistic look. And it kind of exceeds my knowledge a little bit, but the special effects guys say, well, you know, when we're doing like spaceships and different things like that, we get a better key that looks real instead of with the green. So that's, the green is often used for people because also seeing your skin, you're not going to find, and that's probably the bigger thing, you're not going to have anything in your skin with that color. And so the really good key is, like, if you have blue eyes and you have a blue screen, there'll be something else in your eyes. It's kind of freaky, actually. But like in your shirt there, sometimes there'll be a green in that, you know, because it's kind of a Hawaiian or whatever, and they'll have some bright colors. You'll see it in there, you know.
Background is.
Right. You know, while they're here too, let me interrupt a little bit and talk about some of the background things. There are a lot of companies now that make standard backgrounds, both for your kind of PowerPoint thing, but like in the Pro Presenter, that comes with some of those motion things, and then you can buy those. And then we're going to be using some tutorials, that kind of some high-end programs, but you can learn to make your own. But they're relatively inexpensive, and you're going to see more and more on the web. You can download them, some of them, things like that. And a lot of them are really nice. Some of them are real trendy. Some of them are more mellow. And but they really, you know, even if it's just for your sermon thing, or if you use them for praise music or something like that, it just really looks nice and clean. So. FYI on that. There's a lot of those out there. Those little things can really make whatever you're producing all that much better. Let me come back to the
live. Yes. You mean backgrounds for backgrounds like this or like chrome key?
Like I remember yesterday when we were watching the project, and there was words and he had the blue thing. And by the way, you can control those. Like, that particular background for me is too distracting to the word, so I would soften it, and you can do that, and slow it down. I don't like the, you know, if you're doing a rock and roll concert, it's good for that, but in a worship setting, you know, the music needs to be, you know, the kids always want the music a little more energy, and, you know, it's been always that battle, but I tend to like to slow it down and blur it, and so you can see the words clear, but it does provide some visual interest as well. So, like in that one he had, you know, the circle was really defined, and then that thing, and it's like, so, you know, you're looking at that instead of the words, you know. This is kind of one of those subtle things. So, on the live streaming again, and we're just talking about the audio. Audio, of course, because it doesn't require as much bandwidth. And are you guys pretty much familiar with what bandwidth is? You know, it's basically, think of it like this. You have a hose, you have a fireman's hose, that's a lot of bandwidth. You have your garden hose, that's small, that kind of thing. When it comes to computers, you know, and you're accessing the internet, if you're running a lot of video, you need a lot of bandwidth. And they generally refer to that in megabits. MB. Megabits.
How does that convert to megabytes?
Kind of the same. It's really the same thing.
Oh, okay.
You don't hear a bang. Just a short torch.
Right. Yeah, I see a torch and you said bang.
Step outside.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
Let me
go and take a break.
Yeah, really. Of course, I'm definitely a city kid, so I'm having stuff like that's like, oh, okay.
So that bandwidth, to answer your question, is kind of the same. It's kind of referencing the same thing in terms of how much data you're trying to put through. So when you're looking at a website or a hosting service, that's a big factor, and I'll come back to that in a second. But okay, so we're feeding an audio signal. It requires less bandwidth because the amount of information is smaller than the amount of information. And I realize it's kind of obvious, but sometimes I find people, it's like, oh, you know, I really never thought of it that way. And so, forgive me if it's too oversimplified, but basically when you look on your computer screen, everything you see there is made up of ones and zeros. Basically the way a computer works is yes or no. It kind of has some interesting theological kind of things when it's just yes or no, but I don't want to get into that, but it really is just a series of yes or no's that decides whether you see a green dot there or a blue dot and all that kind of stuff. Well, whatever those series of ones and zeros or yes and no's, that's all, it's got to be written down, so to speak. So if you think of it printed on a paper, to do that, I've got to type all of this. Well, that kind of represents the amount of data required to see what you see, right?
Hey, Jared.
So, your case, you know, is in there?
Yeah.
That's in there, okay.
Okay, I think Louis just got it.
Okay, just wanted to make sure you
do. Thanks.
And so, that's kind of the data that's going through the, to represent. Well, audio requires a lot less, so audio is a lot easier now. I'm sure if you've downloaded anything or listened to anything on the web, generally you don't have much trouble with the audio, and you'll switch to video and send me kind of jerks and all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of a basic thing. So audio coming in, then you have to have some internet access. The reason for the dedicated, like I said, Arlington, we're probably going to try DSL, but it's a bit risky. But we're going to try to keep it isolated, and we believe where we're at, we're pretty close, so we can get the maximum speed they provide. Now, the one challenge you have is that the speed you want is the hardest to get. What I mean by that is generally, if you bought internet service, they'll give you a download speed and an upload speed. The upload speed is the one you care about. And that's where, oh, I got this great deal, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, but then it's only like 512 upload or something like that. That would not be a good thing for feeding a live stream. It might work audio-wise, but definitely video. You're really on a DSL, especially. That's pretty risky. But that upload speed is what you're looking for.
All right.
All right.
Thanks. No worries.
Thank you. Then, you know, once you're generating, remember you need something to kind of convert. Go ahead.
What kind of speed, upload speed do you need for streaming video?
As much as you can get. The other challenge is when you buy your internet access, they don't guarantee it. The classic up to statement, you'll get up to, and so it, definitely if you're buying it, if there's some kind of out clause to it, it's like, listen, I need to try and see if it'll work. Again, you do a T1, that's generally the safest thing to do, because it's kind of a different way they're dealing with it, and so you're not being interrupted, it's yours, you know. Yeah, like I said, I'll try and have the numbers tomorrow. We were trying to do it today, but I ran out of time, too, because we're looking at what it's going to cost to get us a T1. Because every year it's a little cheaper. We're also going to see if the fiber optic improves the RAO too. That's kind of a whole different animal as well. Because as you're probably aware, like one of the great things by fiber optic, and it's true for audio, video, whatever, is it's not impacted by interference. Remember I was talking about, we were listening to the hum and buzz. Remember I said the cable was sitting over every light can across the attic that was creating the buzz? Well, the fiber optic doesn't get impacted by that kind of thing. And so when there's fiber optic coming to you, then there's less things that are making the signal weak. You know, your DSL is coming down standard. Generally now, I think a lot of the stuff is moving fiber optic, and then as it gets closer to you, it starts going to other lines. But they're trying to get the fiber optic out as far as they can. One of the reasons they can get more stuff into fiber optic, they can plug stuff together more. They can get more bandwidth down the same size fiber optic paper. So you have your feed coming in, and then you need something to encode it or convert it so it can play it on the internet. And then you need your access to the internet. And that's what's typically referred to as hosting. And there's, when it comes to hosting, it can get real confusing, because it's like everyone is kind of selling you the same thing, and they use different terms sometimes, and it's just confusing, we'll put it that way. But there's a couple of things that you can do when you're looking for hosting. You can hire a company, and your website's on their server. All your media is on their server. And that's probably the best way to get started, is doing it that way. Another alternative to that is that you can buy your own server, and a lot of the hosting companies will sell it to you. Buy your own server and put it in their building, and so they'll support it, but only your stuff is on it. Well, you do have another option where you can host it yourself. I do not recommend that. Unless, not even if you have a great IT person. I just don't think it's a good idea. Especially with all the security issues and all this kind of stuff. If you wanted to host it yourself, in one sense it's not that complicated. You literally can have a computer at your church, you can go straight to that computer, and that's your server, and then that accesses the internet, and then people are accessing that, and it works, theoretically. You know, if it doesn't, you know, if someone knows what they're doing, they can get it working and all that kind of stuff. But then you're responsible for all the security. Someone hacks into your, PDF server files, and they mess with it, and they put different words in there that you don't want on the website, all that kind of stuff. You know, there's people that do that. I'm not them, and it's their problem. It's like the e-commerce. I've set up a couple e-commerce things. It's like, I don't want to have any responsibility on the credit card thing. If someone hacks into it, it's their problem. I'll pay for that. I just don't want to deal with it. It's just too, you understand. No. So if I want to get into that, that's what I would do full-time, but I don't want to do that full-time. But you can do that. And the other challenge with that is, if you have one person wanting to watch your live video service, that's okay. Probably two, three. But when you get 50 people wanting to watch it off your server, then your connection better be good and all this kind of stuff. But, the other thing is, depending on the hosting site, but most of them, there are places the gear is in an air-conditioned building. They should be in cages that are locked, so no one get in. Like my brother's, where his stuff is located, it's just literally rows. It's three buildings, like I was saying the other night, 100,000 square foot buildings. In fact, they had to move because Google was taking up the floors. They were in the same building. Each building had its own generator, so if the power went out, it'd kick in. We had this high security card to go in, because he'd often go in service his own thing. But it's just literally racks and racks of servers, you know, a single rack. Well, they're climate control, a lot of these, even if you buy your own, you buy your own, they call that co-locating, by the way. If you buy your own server, a lot of these hosting companies will sell it to you. I don't really have an opinion one way or another whether that's a good idea. There would be an argument for that. If they recommend something to you and it's not working right, it's their problem. But if you have someone in your church or someone that's pretty knowledgeable and you have a lot of confidence in, they may be able to steer you closer to what you really need. You know, there's that classic thing, they're going to oversell you. You know, you never know what you're going to get. A lot of these hosting companies, you're not sure who you're talking to. Is this really a technician? Or is this the sales department? You know, all that kind of, so it gets a little muddy. But since the market is so competitive, you know, if you call around, you can kind of get a consensus and kind of tell whether someone's, even if they have no knowledge at all. Some of the big things that you're looking for is how much hard drive space they're giving you. More and more, they're giving you 10 gigabytes. I'm trying to think. If you're doing a lot of video, you want to do that pretty fast. Audio, that'll last you for a while. We'll talk about that a little bit again in terms of how much you leave up there. Another thing too, this is a good place to interject it. Often, and I think this is probably what we're going to do at Arlington, often we put the media on a different server. Like there's companies that specialize in streaming video and handle all that stuff. And so they optimize their thing to make sure when someone logs on, it downloads as fast as possible. And the pricing structure is a little different because they're all about streaming. And one of the things you have to watch in the hosting thing is sometimes it's not real clear what they're charging you for bandwidth in terms of their streaming. There can be some hidden clauses sometimes in there. And generally most churches, whatever, when you get started, odds are you're not going to hit that. But if you have, like, for example, a big event, suddenly you're exceeding your bandwidth, there could be kind of these hidden charges and stuff like that. In one sense, it's not, you don't have to worry about too much, because even some of these huge like rock concerts that have live stream and stuff like that, the number of people that actually log on is surprisingly small. That's changing to some extent because the video is getting better and so forth. But you're not going to have 10,000 people probably logging on your site. So, for a while, you don't have to worry about it. You just kind of got to be aware of that issue, that there's kind of some hidden costs as soon as you exceed the streaming bandwidth for that month. You've probably seen these ads where I forget who it was for, but they show these kind of young college kids launching this website, you know, so they're all sitting around on the computer and they see one order and two orders as though they're all celebrating. And then it's 3, 5, 100, 2,000, 3,000, you know, and it just keeps going. And then now they're starting to worry, how are we going to fulfill all these orders? There is a little bit of that dynamic on the web, but if you have the right thing, there was this, someone that did this like End of the World or Second Coming. Did you guys see that? It's probably been about 5 years ago. Someone created, it was about a 3-minute piece. It was a flash video. And
that's him from Washington.
It was created by an Adventist, and my wife was working in a hospital in Thousand Oaks, was being shown by a Mormon that she'd seen it, and it was emailed to her. I forget how many millions of people had seen this thing. And every once in a while, that happens. So if it's the right stuff, suddenly it could get bottlenecked and stuff like that. So. But on the hosting side, and that's one of the things to watch for, that there is kind of some dialogue about if you exceed certain bandwidth and so on and so forth, they'll charge you extra and so on and so forth. But what we're probably going to do is we're going to put the media separate. If you're just getting started, we're going to be dumping a lot of media right away, and so that's why we're doing that. You don't have to do that right up front. And if you just get started, you can do it on the same way. Especially if you're doing audio, to going to come back to some technical stuff, but let me talk a little bit about the applications of the web. Because the web is one of those things that it's kind of had an interesting journey. I remember when everybody wanted to get on the web, you know, when it first was out. And you remember all these companies started up, and then we heard of the dot-com bust? Well, a lot of people were getting on the web, and they didn't know why. They just had to get on the web. Or they got on the web, and this still happens. They basically take what they do in print or something and put it on the web. There's some value in doing that, but that's really still misunderstanding what the web really can do for you. And the bottom line, what the web to me, in a way, represents is now an affordable way to access people in a variety of ways. And now you can access people that you could never afford to access before. Take the classic hidden gathering off and stuff. You know, now most cities, if it was safe enough to go down the street, you can't get in, you know, it's an apartment complex, or da-da-da-da, you can't get there. There's that problem, and then you say, okay, let's do television. Now, like I said the other day, I think if you get on public access, even though most public access are scrolling text or whatever else, the main goal is getting access to the home. If you know in this block that 80% of the homes have access to your thing, then it makes sense to just simply send out a postcard to that area. And, you know, that since I've worked in the industry, and I remember it was a big deal, you know, we're going to have 100 channels. I don't know about you guys, but we have 100 channels, and there isn't much better. It's just 100 channels of bad stuff. You know, and I'm not even making a moral judgment there. I'm just saying it's just bad television. And a lot of my work, I probably worked on 100, 200 television pilots, and 95% of them, it was a waste of money, you know. And some of them made it on TV, some didn't. But we have all these channels. I mentioned that, and then people are still kind of searching, trying to find something. If you have access to the home, there's a lot of value to that. So even if it's like some geeky public access, I still feel there's value in doing that. As long as you're thinking of why are we doing this? Okay, we can gain access to the home. If you just put it up there, I don't see a lot of value in doing that. But if you have a strategy where, okay, we have access to the home in this area, so we're going to send postcards or whatever grassroots way you're going to do it, or you know, you just... Maybe there's businesses in that area and stuff like that, so you have your members, they naturally go to those, you know, you put posters in the window and all that kind of stuff, whatever. As long as you know that they can get it, then it's valuable. And I think there's a lot of value in that, and it's not being used. Now, my understanding, like in the Keene area, the cable company is almost non-existent. There's like 50 subscribers, so there may not be a lot of value to it. I don't know. That's kind of what I've heard, but I don't know what the situation is. But you get into Fort Worth, where the big company, I don't know what the cable company in Fort Worth is, at most time.
Charter.
What is it, Charter? You know, these are big companies, and so their access can be pretty good. And some cities have full production facilities. I haven't checked out this area, but some of them have complete, and you come in and produce stuff, and some of them are kind of nice, you know. They won't be big fancy, but they might be about this big. They have some cameras, and you have to come in one afternoon. They show you how to do some stuff, and you kind of make anything you want, basically. It's pretty cool. I know the church, pastor friend of mine a number of years ago grew up in Battle Creek, and their local public access had this 3-camera mobile package that they used to do the local sports and stuff. Some of the members, they'd go down there, and they'd pack it up Sabbath morning, load it into the church, shoot, and have to pack it back up and load it down. Because it was used for football Friday night, so they couldn't get it on Friday, you know. But they got that from the local access. There's not too many that do that, but I thought that was pretty cool. They did that for a while. Pretty dedicated, actually. But let's talk about the web in terms of access. Because the television networks and all the big companies are spending so much money trying to get video into people's homes, we can ride on that. they're, you know, computer companies, Mac is pushing, you know, that's Mac's bread and butter is media, you know, and iPods and selling music and on the web and all this kind of stuff. So there's a lot of pressure to do that. You know, like I was saying the other night, ABC is offering whole shows and stuff like that. All the phone companies, cable companies, they're buying each other. They're trying to solve this problem that they can get into the home. And there's a lot of stuff going back and forth because a phone company that was never sending video now is trying to figure out how to send video. They're worried about the bandwidth is going to disappear because there's so much video going on. Well, we can ride that wave. And as you know, basically, you can access the world. And in a lot of parts of the world, that's how they're viewing television, period. You know, that some of the emails that we were getting at Faith for Day were coming from Iraq or some Middle East, some who knows how they were even finding it. You know, and so it's pretty incredible. Okay, well, that's great on a big grand scale. Let's just talk about your local community. One of the things that's always troubled me, you take a pastor, for example, and let's say this pastor is a pastor of a church with 200 members, revenue. And let's say this pastor says, okay, I'm going to make a commitment to visit every single member of my church. Plus, I got to go to the school board meeting, I'm going to do Bible studies, the Wednesday night prayer meeting, and, you know, counseling. They might be able to accomplish that, but they'll have no life. You know, it's just not possible. Because you have to add on top of that, that how many, when can you meet with the families? And, you know, so it's a very challenge. I think the web, whereas it's not a replacement for personal interaction, it certainly opens up some doors to where a pastor, particularly in a small church, can minister to the members. And let me describe how. One, what's the challenge of communicating with your members anyway? You call, you leave a message. They call you back the next day or something like that. If you create some content on your web site that people are going to come back and know it's going to be there reliably, and you do a lot of promotion of your website, and it can be the most simplest thing. Just think of something that they would come back for. You know, is it the schedule when such and such a meeting happens that most of the members are into? Or, you know, whatever it is, just things that you get them going there. It gives you that tool just to communicate what's going on. So one is just getting members aware of different activities that are going on in the church. Second, if the pastor just, I think it's a good idea that they do just a simple devotional. And, you know, a pastor may have some sermon he preached 10 years ago, and he hasn't preached at this congregation. So just use that for now. And he breaks it up into 10 segments and stuff. You know, whatever he has to do that realistically within his time frame, you get it on there in audio, get up front and say, hey, it's there. Not everyone's going to and use it. And hopefully the pastor is interesting, all the kind of things that are kind of important for people to listen to it. But you get what I'm saying, is that there's something there that the pastor can communicate spiritually on a regular basis. And one of the things, and I'm going to show you here in a little bit what we're doing on the Arlington site, what our plans are, how we're going to go even beyond. Basically, we're making it so every single ministry of the church, whether it's Pathfinders, whether it's a Sabbath school class, whether it's Mother's Day, I don't care what, whatever the church is already doing, we're going to provide video access to it, all kinds of promotional opportunities to where we can make church members aware of it. Also have access to seminars and things that they may not be able to come to the church to do, but they can still benefit. And there's several aspects of that. First of all, you know, let's say you're in church and you're making the announcement. Quite often when the announcements happen, people are coming and going and kind of people miss it, right? Or maybe the
person doing the announcements may not be the most animated about a particular thing, and so they make the announcement, but it really doesn't have the impact as if this person over here. Well, if you have your little video camera and you find, you know, whoever's like in charge of whatever that program is, and you shoot a little video and, you know, get the kids involved, they often will come up with something that's kind of fun and entertaining as well. But you can show that in the church, it's going to grab a little more interest and a little more awareness. And then if you put it on the web, it's going to have that same impact. Like, for example, Arlington has a regular Wednesday night prayer meeting. And there's kind of an ebb and flow of how much is attended. But a lot of people are, they announce it periodically in church. Well, we're shooting, we shot interviews with several of the people in town, and they're sharing how they're benefiting from it. We're going to shoot a little more material. And we're going to play that in the church service. And we're kind of trying to carve a spot in the church service kind of after most people are in the congregation, but kind of fits within the service that we play this video. Sometimes it's just a short 2-minute interview we've done with a church member that it's like someone saying, you know, I left the church a couple of years ago, but now I'm back, and blah, blah, blah. You know, 3/4 of the congregation says, I didn't know that. You know, and it just has this natural bond together. But we're carving out a spot where we can do that on a regular basis. Well, at the Wednesday night prayer meeting, we're going to put that up there, and we're going to show periodically these different interviews with people. And it's just simple. We sat them down and said, you know, what do you get from the thing? And he says, well, you know, I really have discovered how God's grace and how that can help me live a victorious life and blah, 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 et cetera. You know, whatever it is. You do that on the screen of the church, but you also put that on your website, and you're drawing people in to promote those things. Because, you know, there's so many distractions. You've got to pick up the kids, or you've got to do this, or you've got to do that. But if you create a website where the classic thing, winding down Friday night, looking around, and, oh, what's going on? Oh, I didn't know about, you know, you have access to your congregation in a much greater way. I think there's a huge thing. Now, one of my favorite things, and this is a big deal, and when you hear it, you'll know that this isn't going to be something you're going to do in the next month or something. But I took a class about a year and a half ago for 2 quarters on animation. And it was the best learning experience I've ever had. And ever since then, I've been committed to developing the technology to do the same thing, or finding someone to develop it for me. Basically, this is how the class worked. And I think this has huge ministry potential. And it goes like this. On Sunday at noon, you get your lecture. And generally, they bothered to make it kind of, they'd go on location stuff. It was about an hour-long lecture. And it was video on demand. You'd click and you'd watch your lecture. And then they would give you some files that you needed to do for your class. For example, beginning in animation, they teach you about a bouncing ball. So you make the ball bounce, and there's these theories about the balls. They call it squash and stretch, and it bounces up. So you got to do that, right? So they teach you about all squash and stretch and all that kind of stuff. Well, you're supposed to do that, and then you can upload it anytime on the computer. They have a way you can do your piece and upload it. And throughout the entire week, there are instructors, or mentors as they call them, that are looking at your thing, and they'll email you back, hey, this looks pretty good, but you know, it looks like the ball bounces up too fast, or it's too slow, or you know, giving you kind of advice. But once a week, you would have a video conference with your instructor, or they refer to as a mentor. And the way the website was configured is in the top side, you would see your instructor, and then down below, you would have a window that the instructor could bring any of the students in. Like, for example, my class, we had 2 in Australia, 2 in South Africa, 1 in Germany, several in California. I was in Texas. The first quarter, my instructor was in Berkeley, California, and the second one, he had to be out here in Dallas, and then moved to Austin. And the way it was configured is that you could talk back and forth and ask questions. On the website, there was also a place where you could type a question, and it would go into a queue. So the instructor would see, oh, there's a question here. And generally what they would do is when they got to your question, they would click and bring you in and say, oh, I see you want to know about how to do this, and then you dialogue. And everyone sees that. Then there's also a kind of a live chat going on at the time, and sometimes that was on topic, and sometimes it wasn't. Then, when you get done, in the week, you have to upload your assignment before noon on Sunday, and then about 2 days later, you'd get an email, you'd log on, and you would see your video, or what you uploaded, and you'd see the instructor. And they could scroll your piece back and forth, and they could do like on football, you know, they could draw over your stuff, and they'd say, hey, this looks pretty good, but see right here in this spot here, you know, your hand isn't, you know, it looks a little jerky or, you know, whatever it is. And it was the most useful learning experience I've ever had. When Vision, if you had a seminar to your members, what is one of the challenges? Your members are getting up, they work in Dallas or something, they don't get home till 6 o'clock, there's no way they're going to get, you know, it's a big job to get over here. That, if you can make that available online, in their home, for kids, or you can also, one of the features is you can record a lot of your seminar and things like that, and so they can watch them later. So let's say you have a Bible study group, let's just say Daniel Revelation. And so you go through it, people are attending online, and they can attend anywhere in the world, of course. But then, I missed this week, you can record all that entire session, and so someone, though they missed it, don't have the interaction, they can watch the whole conversation. I think the possibilities are incredible. The technology to make that work is a big deal. But what we're hoping to do is if we can build it, then we can find ways to make it available to other people. Because it's on one hand, it's not a big thing of innovation. All the technology has existed for a long time, but it's actually putting it all together in one piece is kind of a big deal. So, the internet, in case you haven't noticed, that's a big passion of mine because I think it really represents some enormous possibilities in an affordable way to gain access to people. And then externally, of course, for members, one of the things we're trying to do is we're trying to target our website to the community, not the members. And for the most part, there isn't a lot of differences about that, except we're not making it readily available that the seminar on how to evangelize your neighbor isn't going to be found just by clicking on the website. But we have seminars on that. We're creating some things where members can log in and they'll get to see things. Another cool feature that we did a little bit of experimenting when I was at Faith for Day with Pastor Nelson with the Evidence Program. Pastor Nelson, Dwight Nelson, was asked to do a series of meetings in Fresno, 8 nights. The local area there rented this kind of artsy hall in downtown Fresno. And he put a condition on it. They needed to air the Evidence Program for 6 months before he'd come out. So that's what they did. What we ended up doing on the website is we localized it. So we took our already existing website, and when someone logged in any of the zip codes that were within the viewing of that television show, you would see an ad for the host of Evidence is coming to your area. We even built some things where people could register, and we ultimately, we're moving in the direction where they could register and the people then who would receive them as guests at the meetings, they would get a report from the website. All the registration would happen on the website. We also were doing something special in New York. So when people logged on in New York, they would only see, and it's the same website, it looks the same, except when you're in New York or something, well, the technology exists that basically you can break it down smaller. So like in the Metroplex, you know, it's basically by zip code. There's some automated ways, but they don't work reliably. Like, I think it's changed now. there's some ways where they automatically know where someone's going. When you log in, they know what city you're in. The problem is, like, if they're on AOL or something like that, at least for a while, AOL was kind of based in Boston. So anyone that was an AOL member in North America would be from Boston. That's kind of changed a little bit. What we went to is we just asked them for their zip code. We didn't ask for a name, phone number, anything, just made it real simple. So we made it so they go to the website, they can explore around, and when they dug deeper, we just asked them for their zip codes, and weren't too intrusive. And it worked out pretty good. We just barely got it launched to kind of test it and stuff like that. We didn't need it and so forth. I think it's a great tool for a couple of things, because one of the things, I keep referencing Arlington, one of the things I haven't liked about a lot of different ministries, they've had their successes, but they kind of tend to, someone over here creates a ministry and it's kind of their thing and you kind of got to work through all of that. And so you may find a way that they come into your town and it helps your church, but then they leave your town and then are you really equipped to handle all that? Maybe you are, maybe you aren't, so on and so forth. Looking for tools that, like if we create, if Arlington creates this seminar thing, it really what it is, it's just something that needs content in it. So if we build that and then make it available to other churches, they can put whatever content they want in it. And then they have to come onto our servers, but instead of someone logging on and seeing Arlington 70 out of the church, they come to the server and we know where they're at. And so it's your church name comes up. But let's say, for example, I'll just use the Daniel Revelations. That's something our church has done for years. The seminars. Let's say you're doing that, let's say a relationship seminar. You're trying to, you know, a little more soft sell and really want to kind of step into the community and really benefit some things. Well, the show can be created, this whole seminar, by someone that has the budget to do it. But then, if you have the website that can handle the content, then you can set up, you can say, look at this whole library of stuff, okay, relationship, Daniel Revelation, just Bible study, book by book, you know. You say, you know what, I like that one. That's good for our congregation. Then when someone logs on, it's not some ministry over here, it's your local church, it appears like your local church. But someone who has the bigger budget, that's made it look really nice and all that kind of stuff, you can take advantage of it. So that's kind of a big passion of mine. And one of the things that we're hoping to do here at the college is kind of launch, in addition to the communication department, this whole mission media department where we're going to be creating a lot of this content. Whether someone comes here, because we have access to studios in the area down Seminars Unlimited is building some new studios there, we have a relationship there. So we have a variety of ways to producing some good quality stuff and hopefully keep creating libraries of stuff and then, you know, interface with different churches and say, you know, that wasn't too helpful to us, but if you had this, that would be great, you know, that kind of thing. So that's kind of my big soapbox, because I think it's really a great opportunity for ministry that we've just never had before. I've bought a lot of airtime. I've spent a lot of money on airtime. We've had some good results, but it's a ton of money and hardly anybody can afford it. And even what we were spending wasn't enough to really make an impact. On the internet, you don't have to spend, you know, one time we were spending, and this was cheap, we were spending $11,000 for 30 minutes a week. And that was at least 11 o'clock that was on 14. $11,000 a week, you can go through that pretty fast. Now, fortunately, again, because of the web, we were really pushing people to the web. One of the problems with religious television is hard to tell whether you're impacting people or not. Because in the way that they tell how many people are watching, all religious television shows at such a low margin, there's a huge amount of error in there. So it really is meaningless numbers. And so the only way you can really tell is how much people talk to you. Well, I've never written into a show, even shows that I like. I don't know about you guys, but I don't call them, I don't write them.
there's a certain group of people that are more inclined to write or follow or whatever like that. Well, with the internet, that's changed a little bit. More people are writing in or communicating than they would the other way. And so one of the things, when we did that, we did a 12-week stint on 4TV. And with the websites, there's some easy ways you can tell. You probably heard the number of hits, which, by the way, the number of hits is almost meaningless. I don't know how you know about hits versus individual. Every time you click on the website, that's a hit. So you may have 20,000 hits, and that could be one person clicking around your website. Hits doesn't mean a lot. Individual people does. And there's a lot of tools you can attach to your website that are pretty simple that will tell you how many individual users have come to your website, how long they've stayed on your website, and where they went. And so in the case of when we started airing that, the week it started, we saw our individual user triple. So we at least had some way to know that aired, it tripled. We went from like 200-300 a week to it was like 900, then we went up to 1700, 1800. 1800 individual people on a given Sunday would go to our website. Now, the whole scheme of things, they, that doesn't seem very many when you think about all the millions and stuff like that. But when you start thinking about, okay, if I had 1,800 new people walking in my door, what would I do with them all? That's the power of the internet, you know. And it does allow you to interact with them, because I don't care how big your church is, you know, bringing in 1,800 people that, you know, do that effectively. I don't know of any church that has the resources to handle that, you know. So anyway, that's... I like to talk about some of those things mostly in terms of people start thinking about the possibilities and start thinking in terms of why I would use the website as opposed to, okay, the website is new technology, we need to be on it, let's get on it, let's create a web thing. And then you'll find a lot of time they really don't know what to do. Oh, well, let's put the sermon on, let's you know, put this, and it ends up not really... because people really use it. Well, it doesn't get updated, you know, and then so people don't come back because, well, it's not just, I know Arlington, in fact, a couple years ago, they had a, Sandy Patty gave a concert like 3 years ago, and a year and a half later, she was still coming in October. It was long enough that it could be coming again, and you know, Arlington is a pretty big church and has the resources, and still it wasn't being updated. They found someone else to do it and got taken off. But still, that's a challenge. And as I'm sure you guys are already well aware, it's like, okay, it's great to do a website, but there is a lot of logistical things to work out to make sure it's kept current and so on and so forth. So let's take a break, because I need to pull up some things in the computer and then we'll show a few more things in there. Yeah.
I have a comment. I agree with you on the web that you are mentioning, the potential opportunities. For the Hispanic side, not everybody has access to the web. So what? One thing that worked very good and very effectively in South and Central America is the small groups. And I see a lot of potential for your product, because let's pretend that we develop one seminar. In fact, there is a group that is waiting somebody to be the leader on Revelation in Spanish. And you produce this one. Very well done. If I have that opportunity, I have the DVD made out of this one. Or if I can download it in, I don't know, an iPhone or iPad, and coming to the family and say, look, and we just follow and make it. You see, I have one preacher for many times.
I forgot to mention.
I was going to say, kind of to tie in with that, what you're talking about with that class, if you could ever get that going, that would be,
yes.
You know, you could have a group here and just, whatever interest you had, if it's something a little different, I mean,
right.
There are people anywhere.
Yes.
Something I forgot to mention is a term called IPTV.
IPTV?
If you look on 3ABN's website, you can watch 3ABN and they'll give you an IPTV box. What IPTV is, it basically stands for Internet Protocol TV. And all that's meaning is getting television on the internet. What's happening pretty rapidly, and this is where it's going to be really great, is that you're going to get your television from the internet, from satellite, cable, and if you're not technically savvy, you're not going to know. And it doesn't matter. But in the small group thing, to deal with that issue, not everyone has the bandwidth. Remember, these boxes are $199, and pretty soon they'll be cheaper than that. You have it in your home, connected to your DSL line, and it's all connected up, so you know it's kind of reliably set up. Hook it up to TV, Apple TV basically does this, but there's other things. Apple's kind of pushing their own stuff, but it's pushing basically a user-friendly, you don't have to be a techno genius to make it work, that's the whole goal. And literally, you turn on your TV, you turn the channel to that, and now you have that same basic, turn on my TV and I watch something scenario. There isn't like, okay, I got to dial the satellite over here, and I got to point it over there, and all these, not many of us are like into all that kind of thing, but we would like to do it. Well, it gives it real easy, so for small groups and stuff like that, I think that's the ultimate application, actually, is the small group scenario.
Is this the IPTV, the one that doesn't need to have the dish?
Because it's accessing it all from the internet.
So it doesn't need to have, all right. That is $149, if I am
right.
Is
that
right?
What it is? Yeah. And there's whole big conventions now on IPTV, and there's a lot of legislation going on back and forth. So like I said the other day, it's like any kind of legislation you see trying to squeeze down the internet, get activists, it's going to close the door for it. It's going to get shut down sooner or later. I mean, already, like in places in China, they are blocking stuff, and it's pretty easy to do that. And like I said, I think we're all well aware, the porn industry is huge on the internet. While there'd be a lot of good-thinking people that want to provide all these restrictions to get rid of that, and it's a good cause, but to do that, they're going to create the scenario where if they don't like what we're doing, because I don't know if you're aware, like in Canada, they don't allow anything that ridicules another denomination. So like a book like Great Controversy, that's kind of a pretty great, and that's going to keep happening. And, I'm not making any big statement that we need to go around and bash Catholics or anything, but we know there's stuff in there that, Catholics wouldn't like to see talked about. And, it's not hard to find things where they're trying to delete or whatever. But that's kind of an example of one thing. Some of the other things that we believe that are less, like that still, it's going to, you understand the point, it's kind of squeezing it down. And the internet, there's going to be a lot of pressure. It keeps popping up every once in a while. And
so
that concerns me a little bit.
If we have in our church or at the university, whatever, a dedicated DSL line to stream live our TV programs, how this is going to work with the IPTV? Can we provide this box that will be hooked up? Oh, okay.
There's so much going on in the IPTV world that I'm still trying to get my arms around exactly how it's all laying out. But basically, theoretically, you could do a thing with your members and say, hey, listen, we want you to have small groups. You want to buy an IPTV, $140 or cheap, whatever. They have it in their home, and you kind of create this whole tutorial, look it up. It's just hook it up to your DSL, make sure it's this, blah, blah, let's test it, and then you should have a pretty reliable situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that happens to be, one of the things, I know we talk about the Mac versus PC, And I came from a Mac background. I described it last night, how I went into it. Well, there's another part to it that I'm up front, I'm a Mac fan, so you've got to take it for whatever that's worth. But when I used to rank editing systems, the system I used was called the Avid system, and it was on a Macintosh. That's why I got into it, because it was the only professional Macintosh thing. Well, it ended up becoming the industry standard for wide agreement. Well, Apple for a while, I wasn't sure it was even going to continue to exist, and so the manufacturer started developing PC. Well, now they offer the whole. Well, we had to start offering the PC side of it. And my tech support exploded. Now, at first I thought, I'm a Mac guy, and so I can't, that's not fair. And so we started bringing in the PC guys. It never diminished. And that's one of the reasons I like the Mac product is I just don't have the trouble. Now, some people do, and I'm not trying to make a big pitch, but if you don't care, it just, and you have some, you know, if you don't know the Mac, then of course it's not going to help you much, but if you don't care, and if your church doesn't really care, I really encourage you to lean that direction, because it's supporting it, it's so much easier to train people on, and all this kind of stuff. I just, for the longest time, I just said, I'm just a Mac guy, and so I'm biased. But inevitably, I just couldn't get around it. I had to double my tech support staff just to accommodate the same software on the same system, and we were using the exact same cards, the exact same computer. It wasn't like the PCs had the advantage where you can buy your own card and all that kind of stuff. That creates its own problems. But we were using the exact same computer, and it just drove me nuts. So that's just kind of the tech support thing is just a big, that you get it become a nightmare. I've made my living doing it. So
maybe you should do more for TV or for web?
TV on the web. They're not going to be different. Now,
that's another question I have is what is IPTV? That's just TV on the web? Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. That's bottom line.
Okay.
And, I'm not really sure what's going to happen to the over-the-way airway. I'm not sure what they're going to do with that. They still have, I think I mentioned, read about a group that was trying to sell all their TV stations, some 90 of them, because they felt like KDXV was over. I do know when you read all the trades regarding advertising, a lot of the advertising in my business, we provided editing systems for in December or early January, we were providing Avid editing systems for all the Super Bowl commercials. There's always a lot of talk because it's $1 million, 30 seconds or whatever. And they still move pretty well with that. They have a charge pretty much, but even that's been hit by the internet. They're doing stuff all over the place. So, I mentioned my nephew, I think that's where his check came from, is there were ads associated where he watched the game. That's how we do it.
A lot of the Super Bowl ads had, hey, go to our website, because they knew they could get more people, paying attention to their ad that way than anything else.
But, the advantage of the web is there is a little lesser expectation of people used to and stuff like that. So you're learning and getting through your web stuff, but at the same time, treat it like you're going on television and think about, I want it to look like that. How can I get to that? And I don't care if you're using a little tiny camera. A lot of these, the quality of those cameras are better than the $60,000, 35-pound camera I used to walk around on my shoulder. It's a better picture that you've watched. Any news, anything over the years, growing up, any video was shot on that camera, your little camera is a better picture than that. In fact, it's kind of funny when you go into some of the TV stations that have transitioned to the new cameras. If you go into a TV station, you know, he'd have these big pumpkin box things and the big viewfinder. I made it look like a real camera. And so, okay, when they said, yeah, this camera costs $180,000, it's like, wow, yeah, that's big. Yeah, that's, now, it's a little dinky thing. It's got this big pedestal, but it's a little tiny camera. And a lot of them are robotic now, so there's not even a guy operating. In fact, if you watch the news, probably every once in a while, you see like the graphic over here, and suddenly it's in the face of the news anchor or something, the robotic one off. The early ones, they actually literally will track, like the nose or something, and every once in a while they'll lose it and they'll drift off or something. They've gotten better now, but when they first came out, you know, you'd see this thing kind of drift off. That's pretty funny. It's funny to me. Well, let's take a break, and I'm going to pull up some stuff on the web here, and I'll turn this around. And we'll any questions before we break? One more questions on that?